This morning's Bible reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and can be found in page 1006 in our church Bibles. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. But the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray before we think about those words together. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that we are free to read it today. Thank you. It's your gift to us. We ask that you would open up our ears and our minds and our hearts to hear what you want to say to us together this morning. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Mark's gospel in the past few weeks, and it's as if the jigsaw pieces are starting to slot into place. The story is unfolding. We're seeing more and more of who Jesus is. We're seeing more and more of what his ministry will look like, more and more of what his teaching will sound like, and more of what other people will make of all that he is and all that he does. And today we see another two pieces of the jigsaw fall into place, I would suggest, and that's what we're going to think about today. What two things do we learn about Jesus from this story? Remember, for the disciples, the guys who found themselves in this boat, in this storm, they haven't had the complete story of who Jesus is. It's interesting just to reflect on our own discipleship, if we think of ourselves as following Jesus, that Jesus doesn't explain to the disciples everything they need to know and then say, "Are you in? Follow me." He says to them, "Follow me," and then they discover who Jesus is in the process. And actually, I think that's quite helpful as we think about it. It's not about becoming experts and then launching into a certain way of life. It's actually about discovering more of God as we share his life and we invite him to share our life with us. And so what they're doing is they're not in the boat thinking, "Well, we're okay because we know already exactly who Jesus is and exactly what Jesus can do." They're learning, just like we're learning as we look at Mark together, who is this Jesus? And actually, the end of the passage we heard read, they finish with another question, which is, who is this Jesus? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So what are the pieces of the jigsaw that fall into place for them and for us this morning? Well, the context is that everything is unfolding and the disciples are in this whirlwind in terms of following Jesus and going from one place to the next and hearing amazing things, seeing amazing things. And what has happened so far is that Mark, in the first few chapters, the parables that he's put together, the stories that we've heard, we've learned that Jesus has authority. He has the kind of authority that makes people listen. He has authority when he teaches. He has authority to drive out demons. He has authority to heal the sick, and he has authority to forgive sins. And here in this story, we see that added to all of that, he has authority over nature. That here, he shows that he is also the Lord of creation. That's the first bit of the jigsaw I want us to think about today, that the disciples and we learn that here is the Lord of creation. Of course, we see that the guys are in the boat, and the storm breaks out, and these are experienced fishermen. They knew what it was to be in a storm on Galilee. Storms could come up very quickly in that place, still do by all accounts. So they would have been no strangers to what it was to be in turbulent seas, choppy waters. But this must have been something else, because they're terrified and they're scared, and the water is coming into the boat. There is a genuine real-life threat to their safety, to their livelihood. And Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that we're going to drown? Seems like you don't care." I wonder how Jesus felt as he heard that question. Don't you care? And Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. He says, be quiet, be still. And that's exactly what happens. The waters are completely calm. And he demonstrates that he is the Lord of creation. Now, for these Jewish lads in the boat, they might have thought back to Sunday school or Saturday school, as it probably would have been for them. And they would have thought back to all that they'd learned as children in the synagogue. And they would have known their scriptures very, very well. And at that moment where Jesus spoke over the water and calmed it, I wonder if Psalm 29 pops into any of their heads, which says this: the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. A few stories earlier in Mark, when Jesus had forgiven sins, everyone was outraged. They said, this is only something God can do. And according to this psalm, again, here's something that only God can do. It's the voice of the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, that the psalm is talking about there. It's only he who can calm the waters. It's only he who can still and is majestic and powerful. And here Jesus is doing exactly that. And once again, it's this is who Jesus is. Not just a teacher, not just a guy with a few tricks up his sleeve, not just the guy who can challenge people, but here is God on the boat with us, the Lord of creation. That realization may not have come straight away for the disciples, but Mark is building us up to that incredible question where Jesus says to his friends, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. He's learned through all these experiences, who is Jesus? Well, if the wind and the waves obey him, then he's the Lord of creation. They'd have known what that was from the psalm. And here they see Jesus doing it right before them. In some ways, this is what theologians would call a Christological story. It's a story which helps us understand who Jesus is. It grows our vision of who he is. And maybe this morning, you need to be reminded that he is powerful. He is the Lord of creation. His voice, his word has power to calm things, to change things, to transform things. He has that authority. He has that power. Maybe that's what you need to be reminded of today. But for everything we learn about God, I think it also prompts questions. Having learned that he's the Lord of creation, there's a very obvious set of questions that might occur to the disciples. And maybe they're the questions that occur to you as a Christian when you know and you sing that God is good, but life looks a little bit stormy. The disciples could have said, well, they did say, why don't you care that we're going to drown? But they could have said, hang on, Jesus, if you're so powerful, why did the storm even come in the first place? Or why didn't you stop it instantly so that we didn't get so scared? Why did you allow the water to come into the boat? In fact, if you're so great, why did you even allow us to get on the boat in the first place? I think they'd be genuine questions for the disciples. I think they're genuine questions for us. Maybe you're going through a time when you're asking God questions like that about your own life. How could you be allowing this to happen? Why aren't you stepping in? Why didn't you step in sooner? Why has this gone so wrong? The answers to those questions are perhaps not for today, but to think on and maybe to address some other time. There's mystery there. There's complication there. There's emotion there as well. But alongside this incredible truth of God's power over creation is this other truth that goes hand in hand with it, that Jesus is present during the storm. And just as much as the disciples went away knowing that Jesus was powerful, I think that had gone away, and as they reflected on it, and we see this evidenced all the way through the Gospels and into the Acts of the early church, that they knew that God was with them. The amount of times in the early church where they faced persecution, and they might have thought, why is this happening? How could God allow this to happen? But they knew God was with them. And they started to learn that on the boat that day. Somehow his presence ought to have been enough for them. They're in the middle of the storm. It probably did seem like Jesus didn't care. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. Maybe today you've come here thinking, does actually God even care at all about this? Well, we can look forward in hope to the one who has authority and power to calm the seas, to calm the seas, to bring the raging storms to an end. We don't know when that will be, but we can have hope for that. But in the middle of it, we know that he is here. He's not abandoned us. He is with us. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the end of the age." He doesn't say, "Surely everything will be okay now." He says, "Surely I'll be with you until the end of the age." And at the end of the age, he will speak and his voice will go out and it will transform and renew. And the Lord of creation will do what he plans to do. But in the meantime, God is with us. That's what God also promised in the Old Testament, as well as this picture of power and majesty. When people asked questions of God, he promised to be with them. Moses' first response to the calling on his life. All the questions Moses had, God says, "I will be with you." That was the central promise that God made to his people. It's the central promise that he makes to you today. Whatever storm you're going through, whatever questions you have, and the questions are okay. I really believe that. They ask Jesus, "Don't you care? It seems like you don't." Those questions, there is space for them in our lives. We need to make sure we voice them and allow God to speak to us as we do that. And so as those jigsaws fall into place, the God of creation and also the God who is with us, I pray that we'll know those truths more and more in our lives, that like the disciples, we'll grow in our knowledge of who he is and what it means that he is in the boat with us, what it means in terms of our hope and our trust and our faith. And Mother Teresa, as on so many occasions, had it just right, didn't she? She knew what it was to know hardship. And she knew could pray that incredible prayer of trust in the midst of it. I'm going to invite Andy and the musicians to come up. We're going to worship a little while together. I'd like us to use this time to maybe sort of just do what the disciples did, to call out to Jesus, to ask him to help us, to acknowledge his presence with us, the Lord of creation, and also the God who is here, intimately close and present with us. So I'd like to invite you to stand as we worship. We have plenty of time, we don't need to rush this. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. You are already here. Just acknowledge your presence and thank you for it. Maybe some of us this morning are just so thankful for all the good in life, just like that bit of paper at the start of the service showed. We just want to thank you for your goodness and your greatness and for your word and for your power and your majesty. Lord, if that's us, I'd ask you that by your Spirit you would free our hearts to praise you, to direct our thanks to you, to rejoice in the good, to thank you for it. Maybe there are others of us who are in a storm with those questions swirling around. Why? How long? What's the point? Where are you, God? Holy Spirit, remind us that you are here. You are with us in the waiting. You are with us in the questioning. You're with us when we doubt. You're with us when we trust. Help us to lift our eyes in the storm to see you, to know your presence. And Lord, we just say in faith that we're sure that if your presence with us made no difference, you wouldn't have promised it so often in your word. But Lord, we know your presence makes all the difference. So come, be present amongst us now, we pray, as we worship you.